We're in the 20th chapter of 1 Kings. And it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message. He was drinking, and he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, "Set yourself array." And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver them, I delivered into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know I am the Lord." Now, there's about to be a big battle take place. Israel has this great big challenge on their hands. They're really outnumbered. And what they're being told by the man of God that they're going to be able to do is actually impossible. The Lord has said, "I'm going to deliver this great multitude into your hand." And Ahab said, "By whom?" And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces." Then he said, "Who shall order the battle?" And he said, "You will." I want you to see yourself in here somewhere as I continue on, because you're the people of God today. You're the one that has some battles to fight. You've got some situations that are impossible ahead of you. And you got a man of God talking to you tonight, and God speaks to me, and he talks to many of you, just like he talked to Ahab. And sometimes we just need to kind of pay attention to some of these conversations that went on between God and his people and see how God did things. We're going to win this battle. Who's going to help us? Who's going to be the one responsible for telling them to go out here and fight this great multitude? You're the one. You're going to do the ordering, and you're going to win the battle. How are we going to do it? Well, we're going to do it with your young people. We're going to glorify God before this thing's over. In other words, there ain't nothing you got, nothing you can do. Just going to get the credit for this one. But you just do what the Lord says do. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and there were 232. There's 232 young men. It's just impossible. Very few people up against a really large number of people who are out to destroy them. After them, he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, and there were 7,000. And they went out at noon. Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk, he and the kings, and 30 and two kings that helped him, and the young men of the princes and the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, "There are men come out of Samaria." And he said, "Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they come out for war, take them alive." So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city, and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse. And the king of Israel went out and killed the horses and chariots and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, "Go strengthen yourself and mark and see what you're doing. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come again against you." And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, "Their gods are the gods of the hills." And they couldn't have done this if it hadn't been for those hills. "Their gods are the gods of the hills. But let us fight against them in the plain. There we'll be stronger than they are." Fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered, and all were present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. The man of God said to the king of Israel, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you will know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and so it was that the seventh day that the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. I don't care what it looks like or how small you feel. If God is for you, who can be against you? And I don't care what kind of a valley you're in. He's not just the God of the mountains. He's not just the God of the mountains. He's not just the God that wins a battle when you're doing well. He's not just the God that always wins when everything's going good for you. He also wins battles when you're down and out. He wins battles when you're a little discouraged. He wins battles when the odds don't look so good. He wins battles when things are just not quite like you thought they should be. He's the God of the valley too. He's the God of the valley. It doesn't matter how big the situation is. The Lord is on your side. And the children of Israel were numbered, and they were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. And then the man of God spoke to the king of Israel and said, The Lord said, because these people said that God is the God of the hills only and not the God of the valleys, you're going to win this battle. No matter how many there are, no matter how big they are, no matter how tough they are, no matter how much experience they have in fighting, it doesn't matter how little you are, or what you think you don't have, God will deliver them into your hand, even if you're in the valley, even if you're going through it, even if it doesn't look right, if it doesn't seem right. When God wants to do it, He can do it. And when it's all over, we'll know that He's the Lord. They looked at this situation for 7 days. As this army just got bigger and bigger around them. This Syrian multitude had them to where there's no way they could go except stay in the valley. They filled all the place, and it was just this little group of God's people. And thousands and thousands and thousands that were planning to tear them up. But they made one big mistake. Well, who knows what kind of mistakes some of these Israelites might have made too. Who knows what kind of things they might have said or done during this year. And because you read the history of Israel, these Israelis here in the Old Testament. And it seems like every time something good would happen, they'd go bad. Every time they'd win a battle, God would do a great thing for them. They started turning to other gods, lying, cheating, doing all kinds of hateful things and acting like there's not even the God anymore. Acting like they forget everything that God does for them. And who knows what all they might have gone through from that other battle till now. I am convinced that they were still like they had been, because even before and after we read accounts of the people of God getting discouraged, getting down, becoming doubtful, getting to where they don't really believe that they're going to make it. You know, God doesn't like this unbelieving stuff. He doesn't like that at all. He doesn't like people to be unbelievers. You know, if the unbelievers don't want to believe it, that's their problem. But you people, you've walked with God. You've trusted in God. You've seen God do great things for you. You have enjoyed the wonderful ecstasy of praise and worship. You've seen the mighty God of heaven do mighty things in your presence. So at least believe God when He talks to you. And the man of God came to this king and he said, look, I'm going to deliver these enemies into your hand. You're going to have a fight, you're going to have a battle, but you're going to win. And in so many words, he said, how can we? By whom are you going to deliver them into our hands? Then he said, well, who's going to order the battle? An indication that this man has a lot of responsibility on his hand. He's probably got a whole bunch of murmuring people saying things they shouldn't say, knowing a lot of things that's going on. And not only does he know that, but he's got his own doubts and fears to have to deal with. And here's God speaking to him through his prophet, saying, you're fixing to go through a real battle, but you're going to win. And you're going to fight it with those people you've been dealing with all this time, with all their problems, and you're still going to win. And probably if you really knew what all was going in this man's mind, he was probably thinking of all the things he shouldn't have done before the man of God came to talk to him. I don't know what all was going in his mind, but he probably had a lot of things that he needed to deal with too. So who's going to order the battle? You are. You're going to order the battle, and you're going to win the battle. And at the end of the battle, you're going to know that I'm the Lord. And here we are a year later, and we won that one. This is going to be a tough one. But the big thing that was going on that really was in the favor of the people of God was the enemy. The enemy was out there saying some things that it kind of like, no matter how bad the people of God might have been or what all they'd gone through or what they were going through now, there's something about when anybody, I don't care who it is, says, well, he's God that can do something over here, but he can't do it over there. These enemies call their God gods. God doesn't like to be called gods either. He's one God. He doesn't have any other God beside him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And they had heard it. But these enemies tried to, you know, they were used to serving all these gods. And so they had it in their mind. Okay, they had the hills to work with. They had the hills to hide behind all these rocks and to hide behind all these things. If they hadn't had that, we would have won. But evidently, they were a little bit fearful of these people because they brought back a great multitude this year. And they just filled the whole country with that little group of warriors. And they probably thought in their minds, we've got them where we want them now. There's no way they can get out of this one. Have you ever felt like the enemy had you surrounded? When he comes against you like a flood, he's over on your right hand, he's in your left hand. You look everywhere you can, refuge fails you. It seems like nobody cares for your soul. You're just in a mess. But I'm encouraged to know that even if you're going through some valleys, and even if you have some doubts and you have some fears, you still serve a great God. Thank you, Jesus. And when the enemy rises up against his people, he's for you. He's not against you. And you might have failed him a few times, but he's still for you. He's not against you. And you might have got down and discouraged. You might have said some things you shouldn't have said and done some things you shouldn't have done, but he's still for you. He's not against you. And when that enemy out there is against you, he better watch what he says, because God still remembers those testimonies. God still remembers those victories. God still remembers those battles that you went through. God still remembers the miracles he has done in your life. And even though you might forget some things sometimes, God doesn't forget. Because they said he's the God, their gods are the gods of the hills and not the valley. If we get them in the valley, we'll kill them. So they've got them in the valley. They've got them in the valley. You ever felt like they got you in the valley now? Thank God we can go to Psalms and read, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the valley, they brought the enemy down. Woo! We can break the enemy down on Tuesday night. after you worked all day, after you're tired, you're sleepy, and you haven't had that good a day, you're still going to make it. Praise God. You're still going to make it. You're going to still testify. You're still going to shout the victory. Hallelujah. No matter what's happened, no matter what kind of bad news you got, no matter how it looks, you're going to praise the Lord, because He's not just the God of the mountain. He's not just the God on the hills. He's the God of your valleys. He's the God that's with you now, no matter what it looks like. Because God's for you in the valley. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to know that I'm the Lord. I'm going to deliver all this multitude because of what they said. I'm going to deliver every one of them into your hand. It could have been, if they hadn't said that, maybe some of them would have been spared. I'm sure there were some nice Syrians. God's pretty serious about what you say about God, especially when His people are going through it and you're trying to hurt them. So there they are. Battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. Now, that didn't get them all yet. But the rest of them fled into a place called Aphek, into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. Can you imagine a wall coming down on 27,000 men? 27,000 of the men that were left. Can you just see these people? Thank God we got away. Thank God we got away. Whew! Thank the gods that were on our side. We made it, boys. And here comes the wall. Ah! You know, down they go. That's a big wall. Came down on 27,000 men that were left. Wonder who pushed that wall down. Thank you, Jesus. But the rest fled into Aphek, into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, into the inner chamber. And his servant said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads, and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure he will save your life. Pretty humble now, aren't they? Life can get complicated, can't it? And sometimes you're just going to feel like you failed, and sometimes they're going to feel like they failed. But thank God we've got a great God on the throne. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the God of the valleys and the mountains. He's the God of the discouraged and the encouraged. He's the God of the people who have been serving Him faithfully and the ones who have kind of been blundering along the way. He's the same God. God uses people to astonish entire nations. I've been in contact the last couple of days with people who are being noticed because of a few things they say. Some of the things that are being said are things like, God is who I believe in, and that will not be taken away no matter what. And I see news commentators, talk show hosts, atheists, anti-God people in high places, awe-stricken. I don't stand here on a political platform tonight, but there is one man in our nation. He doesn't claim to be Pentecostal. He doesn't claim to be apostolic. He doesn't claim to have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. As far as I know, he came close, but he never got baptized in Jesus' name. But if he keeps talking like he's talking, ain't no telling what God's going to do. Because I don't care who you are. When you try to represent God and you've been trying to serve God to the best of your ability through the years and you come out with nothing, God can still do anything. And I love seeing America astonished. I've had about enough of this. You can't pray in public. You can't pray in school. You can't read your Bible here. You can't do this in the Supreme Court. You can't do this in the courts of the land. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. And here comes one little man saying, oh, yes, we can. I believe in God. Thank you, Jesus. He brings out these little things that nobody knows about. I mean, this whole generation has come up, you know, since Madeline O'Hara and all these people said, we're going to have this separation of church and state, and even got Supreme Court officials believing, you know, some kind of an interpretation of what that's all about. And here comes a little man, unknown, unheard of practically. He's just a preacher over there somewhere in the South, with those Southern Baptists, you know, who's going to pay attention to a man like that? I'll tell you who can. God can. You start talking faith, I don't care who you are, whether you're Methodist, Baptist, Episcopal, who you are. If you've got some integrity and you've got some honesty about you, you start talking faith, that's God's language. What Hillary needs to do right now is get the Holy Ghost, get baptized in Jesus' name. I think one of these guys, they need to come to this church quick if they want to make it, because I'm telling you, God is paying attention to those who are paying attention to God. It's like that all over the world. There are kingdoms being brought down simply because they're trying to say, God can't bring us down. And the people of God can't. I'm telling you, I remember sitting right in Washington, D.C., behind some closed doors with a group of ministers. And a man who was, I forget what he was, but he's like, he was right there, right-hand man with President Reagan. And we were behind closed doors, and he asked us ministers to pray for our president and pray for our nation. And he said, there's some things I can't share with you, but he said, you men of God, he said, I'll just tell you, we're in a lot more trouble than you'll ever hear about on the news. And he said, there are things going on in South America. And he talked about some things going on in South America and some things that we're going through. And he said, we need prayer. And he said, all the meetings of all the officials, your president and your senators and your congressmen, we cannot find a solution. And we realize the only hope is prayer. That's what a man said to us as we joined hands at the White House and we prayed in the name of Jesus. God help our country. And you know what? It wasn't long after that the things got resolved. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Hallelujah. When it comes to lifting up who God is, when it comes to saying, I believe in God, and I believe God never fails, when it comes to saying God is good and God is real and God wants us to do well and God wants us to put our trust in Him, when it comes to those things, I don't care what you call yourself. We got something in common. Praise God. The same God. The same God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And God's no respecter of persons. He's not paying attention to our walls and our barriers. Praise God. Some of these walls are going to come down on a whole lot of people. I'd just like to see a worldwide Holy Ghost revival start in the United States. And I wouldn't be surprised if it starts with Baptist people coming together praying. And maybe a leader who has been exposed to truth over and over and over. And I've been listening to him. I listened to him talk for over 3 hours last night because I researched. I want to see if this is still the man I knew 35 years ago. And he is. I'm not telling you how to vote. Vote for anybody you want to. I'm just telling you that we serve a mighty God. He took me back 35 years in my memory and caused me to remember, as I listened to this man speak to the entire nation and the world over and over on YouTube and a lot of different things, he caused me to remember times when we sat there with cups of coffee in our hand and talked about Acts 2:38, the Holy Ghost, baptism in Jesus' name, the difference between the Baptist and the Pentecostals. And we did this in a friendly discussion over and over and over, and it always ended up joining hands, shaking hands. I appreciate you, brother. Everything's going to be all right. We have some differences, but I'm telling you, this God we serve is a good God. And you know, in all that listening last night, everything that was said, I agreed 100% with that Baptist preacher. I'm only telling you that because I joined his club. I'm going to be supporting him. And I'm not asking you to, but if you do, you can. And they might just end up coming here and doing a little rally right here in our church. And if you want to come to it, you'll be invited. Thank you, Jesus. And if they don't, and if he doesn't make it, I'm going to be with him till he gets through talking about God to everybody he can on television, on the internet. And when all's over, no matter who's our president, I'm going to say America has heard about Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love it when people talk about God. It thrills me to think about a leader of our country who gets up every morning, gets down on his knees and prays and reads a chapter out of the book of Proverbs and been doing this ever since I knew him. And he was doing it back then, and last night I heard him say to an atheist, anchorman, talk show host, I get on my knees and I pray to God every morning. And I read a chapter out of the book of Proverbs. Because I love God. And you know what's so beautiful about it? He said it to him just like he said it to me 35 years ago. When he wasn't even running for anything. He said just trying to keep his sanity. Trying to pastor Victory Baptist Church on 6th Avenue in Pine Bluff. And he was a radio announcer and a music teacher like I was. And we had all this stuff in common. That's how it kept bringing us together. He had a little radio station in Hope, Arkansas, and I had KADL in Pine Bluff, and it just kept bringing us together and bringing us together. And today, I rejoice that somebody is in America getting on all the television programs saying, there's still a God! There is still a God!